Hello, my friends. This is Andy and Andy coming to you live from Yorba Linda, California for a late night Living Fearless Devotional. I almost said Resurrect Ministry. Living Fearless Devotional.
A production of ResurrectMinistry.com, yes. Where we're harnessing the power of the internet to share the gospel throughout the world. Whether it's references for new reading material, worship bands, pastors you may never have heard of, we try to provide resources for you to deepen your walk with Christ, to meet him for the first time, encounter the transformational power of a saving relationship with Jesus. So we look forward to hearing your comments on the content, anything that you recommend, any prayer requests you may have. We'd love for you to pray for us. That's always helpful. And if you could drop us a line, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. If the ministry blesses you in any way, you can click the Donate Now button and support our efforts. We would love that.
Yes, yes, yes. And make sure that you comment, just like these folks are commenting right here. We have Kelly Elliott saying
hey,
hi.
Hey, Kelly.
Cindy Hauser.
Hey, Cindy.
Every time I say Cindy Hauser, it reminds me of a big, gigantic cannon. The Hauser.
Is that what a Hauser is?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Lisa Wood. Yay, I made it live.
Yay,
hello,
Lisa.
Everyone. So yeah, comment. And Dave. Hey, Doug.
Hey, Dave.
Bostic. Nice to see
Lisa
you.
Lisa has the cutest grandkids ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I did see that one.
Aren't they adorable?
Yes. But make sure you comment when you're after we get done reading the devotional. If there's something that comes to you as we are reading it, make sure and put it in the comments. And maybe there's something that's triggered something in your mind when we are talking about our feeling about the devotional. You want to put that in the comment. And if you have any prayers, prayer requests that you need, make sure and put that in a comment so that towards the end of the show, we can include it in our prayer to close the devotional. We are reading from A.W. Tozier for the Christian Leader for March 18th. The title is Spiritual Leadership of Anointed Men. Acts 13:36 is the reference, and it says, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. The life ideal was described by the apostle in the book of Acts. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep.
Fell on sleep.
We submit that it would be difficult, if not impossible, to improve upon this. It embraces the whole sphere of religion, appearing as it does in its three directions: God, the individual, society. Within that simple triangle, all possible human activities are carried on. To each of us, there can be but these three dimensions: God, myself, and others. Beyond this, we cannot go, nor should we even attempt to go. If we serve God according to his own will, and in doing so serve our generation, we shall have accomplished all that is possible for any human being. David was smart enough to serve God and his generation before he fell asleep. To fall asleep before we have served our generation is nothing short of tragic. It is good to sleep at last, as all our honored fathers have done. But it is a moral calamity to sleep without having first labored to bless the world. No man has any right to die until he has put mankind in debt to him.
Lord, keep me faithful. Let me serve my present generation well for your glory before you take me home. Makes me want to cry.
Yeah. For what reason? That there's people out there that wasted their life?
No. For just myself, that I hope I don't waste it.
Schnugs. Even as a Muslim, you didn't waste it. What do you mean?
I know, but you just want to die knowing that you served your generation well. Oh, my daughter, my good and faithful servant. You know, you just want to hear those words when you meet Jesus.
Listen, you've lived more lives than most people.
Yeah, well, so many of them not productive.
What is not productive about serving your country to protect the entire country from terrorism for a number of years, two decades?
Yeah,
you did that.
I guess.
Most people would, I mean, I don't know that most people, but many people would just do that one thing and be, you know what? I did my duty. Yeah. And they would retire and sit on the couch or play golf all day.
I guess I didn't think of that part of it. Mm. I was just thinking about serving God, I guess. You know, it's hard when you come to Christianity late in life because you think that, as Carrie says, I pray to God to redeem the time, that you feel that there's always this deficit. You're operating at a deficit.
Are you thinking that because you weren't a Christian at the time you were doing that, that you weren't serving God? You were serving God.
Yeah.
He put you in that position. He birthed you. He knew you all the way back at the beginning of time.
Since the foundation of the earth.
Since the foundation of the earth.
Yeah.
And he used you even where you were worshiping a false God.
He loved us when we were yet sinners.
Yes. See? Yes. I'm so shocked right now. I'm looking at you thinking, why are you not thinking of these things?
I don't know.
You've written articles for the Christian Post. How many people have done that? I'm not, again, some of you are busy in your own lives, but I'm just pointing out the shock.
No, that, but that's only the past couple of years.
I mean, most of all, we're doing this devotional.
Most of all. Because God knows the world would not be right without it.
No. No, we got our millions of viewers across the world from here to Australia. These
spiritual beings.
You know, I fly in a plane. You know, I'm in a plane a lot. So I fly in a plane over these cities and I'm looking, I go, all these people are potentially our viewers.
You are insane.
I see these little cars driving. I go, that guy's probably, as he's driving, listening to our podcast.
Please,
right,
you're
now.
Kidding. Please.
I think that
Kelly agrees with you. This devotion is serving the Lord. You'll be
right.
I hope so, Kelly. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it.
What? I think a mother giving birth to God's children, that is living a life that God wants her to live, and she's doing it as Christians. I'm speaking to Christians. Is one such thing. I mean, just if she's taking care of the child,
right?
Worshiping God and going to church and all that kind of stuff. I think that clearly, I mean, it doesn't have to be counterterrorism at the FBI. It doesn't have to be doing a devotional. Do you think there's more to this devotional that AW is trying to say that we need to be doing? Again, I understand that this devotional is for Christian leaders, but I think it also speaks to Christians as a whole.
Sure.
What are you doing while you're on this planet to serve God? Being a parent to children and raising them in the way God wants us to raise them, I think is serving God in that way.
Sure. First ministry.
First, nice. Well, you are so right on target with these things. Have I made you feel any better?
A little.
Yeah, I think you will be surprised when you get up there, all the crowns that you'll have. You go, oh, Hedia, we had to put some of your crowns in storage because there's so many of them.
Oh, you're sweet. That's the nicest thing you've said to me.
So I know I jumped all over your thing. What else does this devotional bring to you besides that you were...
I'm in a little bit of a funk today.
Are
so,
you?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Not that that's surprising to you. I don't know. I don't know what I actually, we're doing a little bit of construction and we have, it's floors. So everything has to be up off the floor. So just now I went into the garage just to see where everything was. And I just thought to myself, like, okay, you need to process why this causes you so much anxiety. And I realize that I just, I'm obsessed with order. Mm. And so when things are out of order, it really disorients me. Mm. It's almost like a little, some OCD problem I have. Zara's sure, I have OCD. She's like, oh, mom, you are so OCD. Like, so I'm like, maybe I do. Maybe I have a little, maybe a little compulsive about order, because disorder really does throw me off my rocker. So that may be it. There's stuff everywhere, and it totally unnerves me. And the most ridiculous thing about it, honestly, is that people got real problems in the world. this seems like the stupidest problem in the world. And the more I tell myself it's stupid, the more irritated I get. You know, so I think that's what it is.
What's Carrie saying there?
And I'm sorry, Cindy. Oh, I know you mentioned something about your daughter and praying for her. And so we'll definitely be praying for her, for Mia. She's healing from a trauma.
Oh, wow.
And so the ladies are saying that they're praying for her. And Cindy's telling me God's pleased with me. Thank you, Cindy. And yes. Kate saying, I see ya, Andy, which I think is an Aussie expression, is it? And Kate says, we only get to serve him today, one day at a time. Carrie says, chaos makes it hard to relax the brain. Then you get all those nasty hormones. Mm. Yeah. See, Carrie understands.
Yeah, that's why men can't relate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just get, it's just...
I'm just smiling and asking you how I can help you.
Yeah.
I think that's the best thing I could do, because
a lot of people are, and you know, women far more than men, chaos makes us uncomfortable, but I especially, so I'm especially obsessive about it. And so, and then the worst thing, your Christianese kick in and you're like, Lord, give me peace. I know you're with me in the storm. I feel so stupid right now. I don't know why I have to pray about this. Like, ladies, or even gentlemen, whatever it may be that you're praying about, how many times do you feel like stupid about your prayers to God? I know they're not stupid. I know God listens to everything and he's there for all of it. But you almost feel like you should be above it. You should be better than that. You shouldn't have to be making these kind of silly requests. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's a trick that the enemy plays to kind of just do a further mind trick on you so that you don't go to God. Mm. But it's a weird thing. Mm. It's a weird thing.
Well, as far as the devotional for me, I worry about, you know, kids today. Kids today, as an old guy, as an old fart. Kids today not starting, not getting started, understanding that you know, there's more than just themselves.
They in become this world. Consumers.
Yes.
They're not providers, they're consumers.
Today's a great example. I often text the kids depending on what's going on during the day, but before school, because I don't see my teenagers in the morning very much. They're either, because the littles go to school earlier, so the teenagers are either in the shower or they're still in bed. And and so when I see they're up and they're getting ready to go to school, I'll tell them something like, hey, have a great day, or be the light, find somebody
you got a response.
Find somebody today and ask them if they need any help with anything, or just be kind to somebody. and then today my son, because it's in a group text, so all the kids see it. And so he decides that he's going to say,
it wasn't in Falco fam, was it?
No, I don't do it. Okay. Just the kids. And so
the kids, just Ray and Kelly?
No, it depends. Zara hasn't had her phone lately. So I just do it, you know, depending on who I know has their phones. And today was Brinley, Kelly, and Ray.
Oh, so Brinley's in the family chat, but we're not.
Not family chat, just the three kids. Teenage. Oh, why would I tell you?
She's your kid?
Why would I tell you?
She's your kid now?
She's a kid. It was a group text.
Okay.
I have one for all the different groups. All the different groups. And then Zara, I'll do one just specifically for her from time to time, telling her how much I love her and have a great day. Be strong, like I did when I dropped her off at OC today. Give her a little lecture.
Sometimes you're supposed to do.
Yes. But she's home because she's being homeschooled. So I see her in the kitchen and able to give her some words of encouragement.
Yeah.
But my son today decides to send me a bunch of cut and paste from some positive website. I think it was a little bit of a lefty website, by the way. So. A little blue.
It was very funny.
What he was doing was saying yes to the other, to Brantley and Ray. Yes, you need to do this and this. It'll just make you feel so much better when you really help somebody. And these long, long things. And then I acted like, oh, Kelly, that was so amazing. It was, you gave me a tear of your fine words. But then I thought about it later that it doesn't matter necessarily that he was joking, because there is a little bit that may seep in, just a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like being at church, and I know that they're, you know, fiddling with their feet or poking the other one next to them, you know, during church, like, hey, you know, do you see that person sitting over there? But there's something that may be absorbed at some point. Like the Zara today, dropping, taking her to OC, is that, hey, you know, I want you to have a great time, you know, be the light, help somebody out if they need help, you know, be the supportive teammate, that kind of stuff. And I'm just thinking, yeah. And she gets out of the car and then goes out, like much like all the kids do. But there's got to be a little bit that seeps in.
That's for sure.
But you can't give in to their grumpiness. You can't give up to their grumpiness. You got to constantly be throwing it in there. So I'm hoping that is something that it'll just kick in someday, because I want them to understand that they can't waste this lifetime on the phone, Instagram, TikTok, video games. And it's not their sports either. And it's all about your sport. If you're going to do a sport, make sure you are a good teammate. Don't do a sport just to score goals. Don't do a sport just to get accolations and pats on the back. That you're there to serve other people in addition to trying your hardest. Trying your hardest is one thing because it's for the team.
Yep.
But you also want to make sure and see if you can help somebody out in the meantime. Because Kelly always tends to play with Andrew, you know, in warm-ups, catch. Mm-hmm. And I say, why do you do that? He goes, because I know that he will be there and he'll pass it back to my stick. I don't have to go chase it down. And I said, so that you're doing it wrong. You're doing the things that are easy. In life, you don't want to do the things that are easy. You want to do the things that are difficult. Mm. And so find the player that's bad and play catch with them.
Ah.
Because it'll help you be better and it'll help them.
They're just happy to get frustrated.
They just don't like doing it because it's hard. Mm-hmm. I used to tell that to my police officer friends. You know, don't train your dog or don't do training on things that you're good at. Only do the things that you're bad at. That's the only way you're going to improve those things.
Fascinating.
I was trying to carry the show because you just are not, you're just not feeling it today.
I had so many other things to talk about, but you're just hogging the microphone. So I just,
really?
Yeah.
I asked you, I said, what have you got? And you go, I don't know. I'm just not feeling it today.
I didn't say that.
Hey, people, back me up on this one.
I'd like to read the scripture.
Okay. Let's read the scripture.
Kate's projecting lots of disorder coming our way.
Oh, this one right here?
Yeah. Up. No.
Oh. Why am I missing it? Oh, that one. Oh, that one.
Lots of disorder coming our way. Letting go is a gift.
Oh.
In all the chaos, there is a cosmos, and all disorder is a secret order. Carrie understands. Male on the counter makes ugly. Thank you, Carrie. Suggests that even in situations or experiences that seem chaotic or disordered on the surface, there is an underlying order or pattern. In other words, there is a hidden structure in chaos. God willing. Hmm. God willing. Okay, so this passage of scripture, Acts 13, Paul is preaching. And so this is the part where he's preaching in Pisidia. And he's at Antioch, and he's going through this wonderful synopsis. I'm going to start in the middle of it, but this wonderful synopsis about faith since the time of Abraham all the way up through Christ, and how the Jews killed him and handed him over to Pontius Pilate, and how he fulfilled the scripture in doing so, that it wasn't by accident, they didn't trick him, that it fulfilled the Psalms about what was supposed to happen to Christ. And so then he goes on to talk about David and his destiny. And he says, as we've read, for David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, he fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption, meaning his body decayed. But he who God raised up saw no corruption. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, this man, meaning Christ. And by him, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what has spoken to the prophets would come upon you. And again, providing the prophecy, behold, you despisers, marvel and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe, though one were to declare it to you. So that people couldn't even believe what God will do in the latter days, sending somebody as a propitiation of our sins, that he would die on the cross so that we would have right standing with God, despite all of the rules that we were never able to fulfill. But this idea of falling asleep without like serving your generation, like having the sense of contentment and peace that you just fall asleep as a form of death. It's not this wretched, horrible death. It's not a lonely death. I think about how difficult it is for my mom right now being alone, how she prays for death and God doesn't take her. You know, like it's just the, and I juxtapose that actually to my father, who I couldn't get to make a retirement plan to save my life because he always intended to die his own way. Like he, from when, early years, from when he was in his 60s, I knew he had a plan that he was going to go out in a blaze of glory. And I used to say it to him all the time. And he did. Like, it was death on his terms.
I think he really wanted to die in his Rolls Royce.
Yeah, he was close to doing that. Definitely was. He was outside on the curbside. But it's just that, I don't know, it's just having a peaceful death. And we have the blessed fortune of knowing that when we death to live is to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. So that's absolutely glorious, right? That it will also be asleep. It'll just be like you sleep and you wake up and you're like, ah, Jesus. Mm.
You know, I was talking to you about at dinner time about the books of Exodus and Numbers and what else was I reading? Probably Genesis, Leviticus, thank you, where it's all the different things you have to do to give sacrifices to God, whether it's the ox or the sheep or the dove or the pigeons or all the quail, the seeds, right, the flour, and how you do it, and then all the dimensions, all the incense and all this kind of stuff.
Isn't that interesting how God was like told him about the rubbing of the oil of olive oil, the bread? Like God was so precise.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
And then the burning of the different body parts and things like the burnt offerings and things like that.
The liver lobe.
Yeah. And then they have all these things they'd have to do. And then they would go do them. And then, oh, I got to do the sacrifice. Like, wouldn't that be enough not to do bad things and not to sin? Like, I don't want to have to go and get an ox and cut his throat and then take the blood and then take the, like, that wasn't never enough. Like, right? It just, they continued like
to. Or
like,
you did it wrong. Like you approached without being like ceremonially clean. Yes. And then God killed you. Just like zapped you right there. At the altar. Like, gone.
So then I get to the part where after the snake, and then they made the bronze snake that would cure you of your illness. And that's where we get our symbol for medicine. And then God says, okay, I'm tired of you, Aaron. You've messed up way too many times. That's not what he said, but I want you to give your cloak and your robes to your son and then go up to the hill and die. Like, I just feel like if I was Aaron, I go, what, can I go down like fighting a battle,
right,
or dying for your glory?
Same with Moses. No,
just go up the hill and die.
Moses didn't get to go over either.
Oh, like, how do you think he went up there and died? Like, did he just walk up to the top and lay down and just fell asleep?
Or rotted because he had no food.
Wow. Like, after all like, the book after book after book, Aaron, Moses, Aaron, do this, Aaron, do that, Moses, do this, Moses, do that. Okay, go to the hill and die.
I was kind of angry.
I know. It was a little shocking. It's like coming to the end of a long series. You know how we like these series that are like FBI or CIA, yeah, type of things, and, you know, wars and stuff like that. And then if the last episode was just, he went up the hill and died, I go, wait, no. No.
But that's also what I'm saying about wanting a blessed death. You know, you want to go peacefully, and you want to go knowing that there'll be people at your funeral saying, you know, I just love that salmon she gave us.
That salmon was amazing.
Right. And, you know, she was so generous. Anytime we needed anything, she would help us. I mean, you know, you want people to have a personal recollection of you being a source of grace in their lives. I don't know. What do you all think?
Well, so Kate was referring to earlier about seeing me was that I was flying overhead.
I don't get it.
She goes, I see you. Because remember I said I was looking down at the people watching the devotional?
Oh.
Or listening to the devotional in their cars. And Kate was saying, I see you.
Oh my God, I didn't get that at all. Dave, Andy's been keeping his 1 year Bible assignment.
Woo-hoo! Yes.
Yes, he has. He takes it very seriously. And I'm super, super proud of him.
It's awesome. I'm learning so much. Like,
of course, he has read the Bible. You learned. Novel concept.
But today was one of those days where I go, is there, maybe they talk about Aaron in another book. Maybe that something more That's spectacular it. Happened.
That's it. Aaron
like,
just goes.
Like,
I mean, but look at how many times Aaron fudged up.
I know, but I've been reading about Aaron for like 2 weeks and Moses about.
Longer than 2 weeks.
Almost every paragraph starts with God spoke to Moses and Aaron. God spoke to them, and they tell, he goes, make sure and make the whatever thing they were making for that particular day a certain size. Like they had a lot to do, they were busy.
Yeah.
And then
circling in the desert circling for 40 years.
And then they're trying to get into these cities and they say, just tell, you know, we'll come through the city, but we won't look to the right or we won't go right or left. We're just going to go right down the path. Right. And they would say, no, you can't. And then Moses and Aaron had to figure something else out. And sometimes they'd have to go to battle. I mean, it's just like, I just wanted more for Aaron. Am I wrong? I can't wait to get up to heaven and see Aaron.
Oh, really? And say, is he one of the ones you look forward to seeing?
Yeah, I want to go and say, how did you feel? Like, after all you did for so many years. Was it well? It could have been welcoming. He said, oh, thank God. I just want to go up that hill and just
right, just die. Be over with like, it. I ran my race.
Poor Aaron. I just felt so bad for him. I don't know why I'm so obsessed with him, but...
Dave says he's doing the same kids assignment.
Yeah, it's very good. Carrie's Irish.
I'm Irish. I just want people to remember how I love them, and now I'm God's problem. Oh, is that an Irish thing?
Must be.
I didn't know that. You didn't know that either? You're Irish.
Yeah, I got too many things. I mean, I can't keep up with all my history. Did we read Kate's there? Oh, yeah, you did.
Mm-hmm.
In the cast. We didn't miss anybody?
I don't think so.
Mm. Yeah, look at you. You're so efficient, Schnooks. Oh, wait. Was that something? I need to think of these things too.
Oh, no. Oh well, Carrie did. We missed that one thing that Carrie said, where she said, Andy, I think of these things too, that I could have done more to honor my Lord.
Mm. Huh. She's like you.
See? Yeah.
I see you and Carrie in that way, that you guys are very, get a lot going up in that gray matter.
Yeah, a little too much.
Yeah, you gotta calm it down, both of you.
Yeah.
Both of y'all.
Y'all.
Carrie, or Kate says, Anya, Carrie. Anya?
I know. It's an acronym for something.
Yeah.
One
bring it up. Maybe
day.
People will.
No. I'm with you there. However, in this world, if people hated Jesus, they will hate us too. Some of our funerals may not be pretty. Andy for sure will have people that picket his funeral. For sure. But you have people, yeah.
Such a pain in the ass, that Andy.
You will have people that loved you, but you will have picketers. That's okay.
I'll have at least
only from heathens.
I'll have at least what? How many people do we have in that one signal group? 45 people, 40 people, something
yeah,
like that.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. For at least, and you have all your hockey buddies and
yeah, a couple of them, a couple dog people. They may have their dog come and pee on my grave poop.
Because
make sure people bring pooper scoopers. If they bring dogs, make sure they bring a bag, a little poopy bag.
People may say, thank God she's gone. We don't have to listen to her preaching. Oh, no. I could see that, too. My gram used to say, may I get to heaven 5 minutes before the devil knows I'm dead.
That's funny.
I like that.
Yeah. That seems like something you hear in a Western.
Right? Yeah. Anya is good on you. Oh,
Anya.
Who knew? Same, Carrie. Mm-hmm.
You were telling me about Stephen Furtick today.
Yes. He was good. My joy, my job.
Yeah, that's what it was. I was trying to remember the saying that you said.
Yeah.
And that was a message about just being okay with yourself, about that you're a sinner.
No. It's about taking life. It's kind of like what Kate says. It's taking life one day at a time. Like you have to, and he gave the example of Silas and Paul in jail. Mm. And they basically cast this devil out of a woman, but she was a sorcerer and everybody in the village liked her and they were making money off of her. So they got mad she wasn't a sorcerer anymore. So they put him in jail. And so he said, while they're in jail, they start singing hymns and praises to the Lord. And they sang their hearts out in jail on the floor until their chains fell off. And then the prison guard was flipping out because he thought they would escape.
Mm-hmm.
But his point was they're worshiping in jail. And they had just been beaten too. So it's like we have to learn to treasure the moments that happen to us as we're going through the moments and not always focused on what's my next step, what's my next move, why is this happening to me right now? Like stop focusing on whatever difficulty you're going through and focus on the joy of the Lord. Of course, he says it far more eloquently than I do.
No.
But the gist was something I needed to hear, which was my joy is my job. meaning I have to consciously make the choice to choose the joy of the Lord over all the nonsense that creeps up every day. You can't keep saying, when I get the perfect job, when I get the perfect family, when I get the he was saying it was like for the single people, when I get married, everything is going to work out. I'll be happy when I'm married. And he's like, and then all the married people said, ha, ha. And every married person will tell you, oh, the problems don't go away. They just change. Then you just have married people problems, you know? It's so true. You can't put off your happiness, your joy, by saying, I'm going to reach this milestone and everything's going to work out. It's never that way.
No.
No.
I thought that was important what you said, that he getting ready to record some music and had a whole bunch of people coming in, artists and things like that, and his daughter was joining him in the scene of some of the songs.
Well, no, he was just driving to the studio. He was driving to the church.
And she was just with him.
And she was with him. He, and she was just humming a tune from the new album. And he was so in his head, obsessed about, is it going to come out right? Is everybody's voice going to be on key? Is the audience going to show up prepared to worship? We're going to be recording in the church. Is there going to be enough people? And he's like obsessing about every detail that could possibly go wrong. And meanwhile, his daughter's humming the worship song. And he's like, wait a minute. I need to just enjoy this moment that I'm driving with my young daughter and she's singing my song. She's worshiping as I'm stuck in this like mind game that I'm playing with myself, you know? And it just resonated with me. So, as Kate says, you sound tired, Hetty. I go do some fun stuff. Watch a Jane Austen movie when life was slow and pleasant. It slows your mind and heart down. That's so funny because I started watching Belgravia. That's the way I pronounce it. Belgravia. And Andy gave up after episode two. And I was like,
it was a yawner.
But you're so right, Kate. I just love them. I was like, what is that like that you're so lazy? You need somebody else to take your clothes off.
That is. I remember you saying that.
Like, what is that like to sit there and have somebody unbutton your shirt and button it back up and unlace your shoes for you? They just stick out their feet and have somebody unlace their shoes.
Is that when I got married that you were going to do that for me?
Oh my God. You must be so sorely disappointed.
I've sat on the edge of the bed waiting for a few times and nothing. You know, but wait, it's funny. You've watched a couple of shows like that, like the other, the Roman era show.
But that's more like the same thing. FBI mixed with the with the Roman gods.
Yeah, and then when they get done doing it, then they go like this with their hand, like, go away. You've done your job now. Get out of my face.
The Romans are a lot ruder than the English. They were like.
Yeah, but that, what's it called again? Belgravia.
Belgravia.
Yeah. No, if somebody's not killing somebody within the first like 5, 10, 15 minutes of the show, then I'm out. What does that say about me? I need some killing.
Hi, Lisa. Late to the party, but here. Woohoo!
Nice to have you. One interesting thing that happened last night, I didn't mention, I think, on last night's show. Did we do a show last night? Somehow I'm forgetting. Oh, yeah, because we had a prayer about eating dinner on the floor. Yeah. One thing that it's funny that Kelly brought up, he says, you know, asking each one of the kids to talk about their favorite memory.
And why did he do that? Because that's your tradition on birthdays. Like it's creating a tradition.
Yeah, I love that. Sweet.
Yeah.
That was really cool. And it was great to hear everybody's perspective, but that's really a good time to know how you're impacting your children and the people around you.
I didn't want to say it in front of them, but I thought to myself, sorry to interrupt you, I can't believe that you don't dog train anymore, considering that's the most positive memory all of them have.
It's because I did TV shows with them. They were on television.
No, but they said literally their happiest moments were, Kelly mentioned TV, but the rest of them were just like training dogs on Sunday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every one of them said that was their fondest memory.
And the cat walks in. But only thing I was going to say to that is that the one thing you don't want to happen when they do that is when they go, I can't think of anything.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, that's like, it's a little bit of a scary moment when you get to the person, they go,
wow,
I have nothing.
Can you imagine if you kept said that? Holy cow. We didn't play that game when it was my birthday. We could have possibly had that moment.
No, not at all. It's impossible. No, but that would have been bad.
Yeah.
If that kind of
thing. It's like having a party and nobody showing up.
Oh, man. That would have been really bad. All right.
Lisa says, I think this is why I also feel so connected to Jesus since I've been born again. Mm. What is why she feels? Oh, Lisa's, we missed the one above. I remember journaling, desiring a witness to my life that was accurate and saw the joy because of some of my traumatic background. So important. I also love journaling, Lisa. And that's what makes me feel connected.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
For sure.
Kate says it works for her, the mind relaxing TV shows. She watches Lark Rise to Candleford.
That does not sound like one I would last very long.
Right. I keep saying hi to Lisa.
I know there was one that you were watching that was, I think it was the English, was it the life of Princess Diana, maybe?
Diana.
No, there was another one.
It was called Queen.
Oh, Queen.
Yes.
That actually kind of caught my attention a little bit.
That was awesome.
I could see myself watching.
I think I think we talked about that at one point. I think Kate was watching it too.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of any shows that I watch that don't have some type of
somebody
like
killing
military, right. FBI, police style. It's really hard to stay awake.
Yeah,
even to stay awake, even with those. Yeah.
Totally true.
Or sports. I like sports movies. I took you to see a sports one, and you actually liked it.
I did.
That was really good. It was about the quarterback. I can't think of his name. Played for the Rams.
I can't remember.
I can't even remember
what breakfast was yesterday.
Oh, let's see.
Carrie watches Blue Bloods.
Yeah,
I love Blue Bloods.
I watched that when it was new. Should go back to that, maybe.
Anything but Hallmark?
Yeah. You know what's so funny is that after school, I'd watch the after school movies. After school, it was ABC, I think. When you're a kid, you come home and have an after school movies.
Yes.
Those were always good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd have my little lunch, my mom would make me peanut butter and mayonnaise sandwiches. What?
Two butters?
Like peanut butter and mayonnaise. No, not peanut butter and butter. Peanut butter and mayonnaise.
But they're both two oils.
Spreads. Yeah, they're two spreads.
Yuck.
Delicious.
That's disgusting. Oh, God. Anybody else? Pick me up, folks.
Anybody
peanut
else
butter and mayonnaise? Am I the only one? Disgusting.
Peanut butter and mayonnaise.
I mean, you always got to put something sweet on top of the mayonnaise. I mean, on top of the peanut butter.
Oh, no. Peanut butter and mayonnaise is an amazing sandwich.
Oh, my God.
On a white bread, the bread that kills you. The Wonder Bread.
That soft, gooey
wonderfulness. Stick to the roof of your mouth.
Yes.
Yeah, you got... I gotta get that off my mouth. But yeah, Wonder Bread, mayonnaise, peanut butter.
Yikes.
Spectacular. Either that or a bologna sandwich.
Ooh, Lisa says she escapes. She goes to her room and puts on nature programs. Do you mean the kind where the bugs are eating each other, or the coyote eats the lamb, or the sweet ones where everybody's living in harmony?
I don't think it matters. I think Lisa's like me. I watch them all.
Carrie is saying she had your peanut butter mayo and apples. What?
That actually sounds kind of good.
You guys are
terrible.
I'm gonna have to try
that. What kind of bread?
No wonder Americans are suffering from heart disease. Mayonnaise like a treat. Oh my goodness. Yes, mayonnaise and peanut butter, Lisa.
Yes. Are Carrie and I the
only ones? Welcome to Coronary Road.
Hey, once again, Carrie and I.
Yes.
Eye to eye.
Yeah, there you go.
I just never put apples on it. Did you put cinnamon on the apples? I can see you doing that. What's Kate saying about Candleford?
Candleford is a very lovely, soothing, old world movie that is around a farming community in the 1800s.
Perfect.
Sounds like a snoozer.
Let's check it out. What is that on? Is that on like Netflix or whatever?
Whatever you like. Put on whatever you like. But is this are these apples going on this Wonder Bread thing, or this is just like a dip? Like you put peanut butter on apples, do you just dip them in mayonnaise too?
Mm.
Lisa's saying, I had a friend who liked peanut butter and mayonnaise, and it was really gross. I tried it once.
See?
Vegemite and cheese. Yep. That's good. That stuff's good. No, just the three ingredients in the bread.
Wow. Interesting. I actually may have to try that. I want to experience that.
We don't buy apples anymore. How come?
I don't know.
We get obsessed with sumo oranges.
Yeah, the sumo oranges just where it came out of nowhere.
Right? And now, why do we have them all the time now?
It seems like this season's last. I think because they saw
how popular they were.
Yeah, they saw how popular they were.
So now they're creating them in a lab? How do we have them suddenly? Because they were supposed to go out of season. Why are they not out of season anymore?
It was like they only
suspicious.
They only lasted like 2 months.
Yeah. And now they're year round. So like, wait a minute. What's in that now?
Is it year round, or is it just seems to be lasting longer than it used to?
It's been going on way too long.
You know, in Anaheim, there was a big orange hub. that's where they grew oranges and Irvine and Fullerton. And then they'd come into Anaheim and we had these big warehouses back in the day. But we used to do some police dog training in one of the warehouses. They come to the warehouse green. They don't come to the warehouse orange. They put them in a room where the gas is used to hit the orange, turn it orange. Yes. And I went, what? And they say, yeah, you can't pick them orange because by the time they get to the store, they'll be rotten. So you got to pick them green, put them into these rooms where they turn them orange. And
what's gas?
I don't know what kind of gas. Some type of poisonous gas, apparently. No, I don't know. Some kind of gas. Oh my God.
See, that's why I don't eat fruit.
I know. You go into these things, these places, and you learn so more than you really want to know.
You don't want to know.
When I was training a dog for E. coli salmonella detection, I was doing a lot of things for Chiquita and...
what do they do to the bananas?
No, they just talk about how, you know, just about all the dangers. I learned about all the stuff that happens with salmonella and E. coli.
Lisa says that's good advice, Andy.
What?
I don't know. Granny Smith apples, Black Forest ham brie, cheese on toast, pumpernickel. That's a sandwich.
Pumpernickel? Who eats pumpernickel? Apparently Lisa Wood does.
Kate's watched this Candleford movie 7 times. It's almost like a white noise for her.
Oh. You know,
she has a little white noise radio. This is a Candleford movie.
You know, Kate, that's the one thing Kate and I can watch something a couple times. Like, there's shows I'll watch more than once.
Yeah. No.
I mean, how many times did you watch the I Love Lucy shows? I must have watched each one of those episodes 15 times growing up. No. But you cannot watch something twice. You won't even let me watch something twice so that you can see it once. Because I want you to watch Breaking Bad. Did you watch the series Breaking Bad?
No.
It's the greatest series on television.
It's yucky.
It's not yucky. It's not as yucky as some of these other shows.
But we don't watch yucky shows. We only watch spy movies.
It's like a spy movie.
Oh, it's not like Dexter where people get chopped.
No. No.
No.
It's one of the greatest television series on television ever. I would watch it again. And there you go. I want to know what the good advice was. Because I just want to be able to tell Hedia that I sometimes have good advice.
Here's the peanut butter and mayonnaise.
What are you talking about?
Wonder Bread.
No. Lisa, before we sign off, you remind me of what I said. That's really good advice. Carrie says. Pottery Jack, what? Pottery Barn?
Pastor Jack's First Peter series is my white noise. So calming. That is so funny because I played that for Andy too.
Yep.
We go through the app and go through First Peter. Second Peter Combat Faith is when I came to Pastor Jack. So
look at all the people that are watching.
I'm a huge fan of that series. It's a bit like it's when my love affair with Chino Hills Church started. So
can everybody who's watching hit the heart or smiley face? I don't know what you're watching. Only some of you are watching on Facebook, I guess, or a thumbs up or something. Because we have a lot of people watching right now. They're really intrigued by the mayonnaise and peanut butter sandwich story, apparently.
Oh my goodness.
Or wondering why Aaron was just sent up the hill and died. They may be just as intrigued as I was.
Or they just fell upon us and just got stuck listening to our nonsense.
This may be one of our largest audiences in a long time.
Is that why you want to keep talking?
No.
Sorry, regulars. Andy's looking for excuses. You know, like those little kids when they talk and they're like, they want to be the center of attention. They're like, I have a story. Yeah, my friend at school today.
And the story never gets started?
No.
Yeah.
Because they're making it up on the fly.
Like Bo. Bo does that still.
Yeah, you watch him and you're like, you're making this up. Yeah. It was like you're literally trying to extemporaneously come up with a story to make us listen to you.
My youngest son, Bo. Who's 10
now. It's just stuck on being the center of attention.
Yeah, but yeah, because anything that Rhett or Ray, even, not so much Kelly, but Ray or Rhett have to say, like, Rhett will say, I stubbed my toe. And Bo goes, oh yeah, I stubbed my toe.
Oh, no, he does it with
every stubbed
kid.
My toe today. As a matter of fact, I think I stubbed 3 toes today.
The drive home with him and all other 5 kids, each kid will say, Ray's like, I want to go to the mall. I want to go shopping. Bo's like, I need to go shopping. I think I need to go shopping. So it'll be like, my iPhone's dead. And he'll be like, oh, my iPad's dead too. I think it's my, you know what? When my iPad died, you're like, dude.
Somebody will have something with a relationship. My friend and I, oh yeah, one of my friends, you know, just the same thing. Yeah, I feel your pain. I had that. And
that's so sweet.
Oh, Bo always adds up. Okay, Carrie says, Andy loves an audience. What are you talking about?
He's a natural comedian. I never realized I wanted a funny spouse. That wasn't actually on the list. God threw it in for good measure. He thought, you
gift.
Know what?
He gave you the gift.
He, this may entertain you. You may actually enjoy growing old with somebody that's funny. I literally have never spent time. Nobody in my family is funny. Nobody I ever dated was funny. I honestly have no natural muscle for funny.
And so, but sometimes you're really funny.
But that's only from you. It's rubbed off. But yeah, so and a life with Andy is just filled with giggles. So God was like, Hedia, you're going to appreciate this. I'm letting you appreciate it. I can't take myself so seriously.
All right.
Oh, I like that. Lisa says, I don't know if this is what she says was your advice, but she says, I ask God to go into my future and let my death be a good one. I love that. Carrie says she's also married to a comedian. And Kate says, yeah, he's great for you.
Laughter is the best medicine. I saw that in a Reader's Digest.
Yeah.
It's one of the sections in the Reader's Digest. Did your dad get that? Get the magazine?
Yes,
it's a little tiny magazine.
Yes.
Yeah. I'd always go
hidden messages.
Yeah, I used to go straight to laughter is the best medicine section.
Oh, I ask the Lord to be with me when I die and to let me do it well. Mm. Amen. It's great. Yeah, I didn't realize what an appreciation I would have for it, Carrie.
Sometimes.
Most of the time. Once I got you to get off at being at my expense, I was...
That was still, not easy. That is not easy.
I know. I have no tolerance for that whatsoever.
My funny bone is directly connected to making fun of other people.
Yes. Well, I don't mind you doing that, but just not making fun of me. You can make fun of other people, but it just can't be me. So early on in the relationship, I had to lay some boundaries. I was like, I love the sense of humor, but it just cannot be directed at me.
And I was shocked. I was going, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It was just
took you a while to understand that.
Yeah. Well.
You're like, no, it's funny. And I'm like, no, it's not. Yes, it is. No, I'm the one that gets to determine if it's funny, and it's not. So there you have it.
Okay, should we pray for...
Can we land this plane now?
Yes.
I know
we just keep going on and on and on, Shugs.
I know. Mine's the dark humor part. Mm. So we have a prayer for Cindy, who we might have lost by now, but we'll pray for her daughter anyways. And
Carrie says you've gotten better.
Slowly. Slowly. I'm a work in progress. We've only been married a couple years, so.
But you did say that your marriage is the best thing about your life.
Yes.
Yes.
I did.
I just want to make sure everybody knew that.
Still, you said that. For sure, when I do a medical intake form for hormone replacement therapy, they'll like rate each of these things in your life. And like my kid, I'm zero. Can I put a negative zero? No. And it says, marriage, how is your marriage? And I'm like, that's a 10.
It's good. I'm a 10.
Well, woohoo.
I love what Lisa said here. This is pretty awesome.
I think Aaron saw God face to face, and he died in glory. That's just me.
That's pretty cool.
That is beautiful.
Yeah. All right. You ready, Snooks? Ready to land this plane?
And Kate says, thank God you don't get to die alone. You guys are a gift to each other. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Kate.
Yeah.
Was there another prayer? I don't remember. I know some of the standing prayers of our friends.
I think it was...
Huh?
Was it a daughter?
Somebody... Yeah, I have that, but you don't remember any others.
No.
Still here. He's dozing. It's late for Cindy.
Kind of okay. Dozing. Kind of dozing. How could you be dozing with this?
It's
like watching
midnight for her.
It's been the most exciting show we've ever done. Okay. And she's dozing.
Okay, now.
Go, go.
Oh, dear Lord, thank you. Thank you for this wonderful group of believers. Mm. Thank you for your sons and daughters that have become like family to us. We're so grateful for their input in their in our lives, their prayers, their jokes, their sharing of their experiences, their wisdom, Lord. It is a wonderful experience. And I read your Bible and I think of the book of Acts and I think of how the early church must have felt, where they loved on each other and they prayed together and they broke bread together and they learned together. And I'm just so grateful for that experience. For it is how we discover how you've built us up to be one body with Christ at its head. And thank you. Thank you for that blessing, Lord. And we lift up to you those among us that are suffering from illnesses. I know Carrie's still waiting for healing for her eyes, and Kate has her knee pain and other pains and some disruption of sleep, Lord. And we ask that you restore them and heal them. Continue to heal Eddie, Carrie's husband. And we ask for a special prayer for Mia, Lord, that she, you bring restoration to her brain and to her heart from the trauma that she has suffered, Lord, that you will restore what the locusts have stole. And we know you are the great physician and that you could right the wrongs and you could make our crooked path straight. You redeem the time for us, Lord. And so we ask that you do that for Mia and for all of us that have, you know, had a wretched existence before you came along, Lord, or have fallen and were carnal or were backslidden, Lord. We ask for your grace. We ask for your grace and your protection to keep us the rest of the way. And may we all have a glorious sleep at the end of our lives. Whenever you decide to take us back home, Lord, may it be peaceful. May it be restful. May we leave back a memory amongst people who knew us that we served you well. And we love you. We offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we ask all things. Amen.
Amen.
Sorry, that was long.
That was a good one. Sorry. You covered it.
It was good. Yes, I like the way Lisa said this. Father, make clear the path of the last chapter. Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. Yes, Kate. That's the last prayer that we didn't get. Oh, one last prayer. Dear Lord, thank you. Please continue to bless Kate. Give her wisdom. Give her discernment as she writes this book in honor and tribute to you and all that you have done in and through her life, Lord. Keep her mind strong and her heart strong and courageous as she writes these things that are difficult about a period in her life that was difficult, Lord. But may we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, Lord. So continue to empower Kate with the words of wisdom that come from your presence. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, my friends. We love you guys.
Love you guys. See you soon.
Bye. Have a great, great night.